There's no wrong way to birth your baby. And I think that it's okay. It's all just dependent on where you're at in your life and what feels good to you. As long as you feel peace with that decision and you feel like you have the right kind of support and you're making that decision for you and what you feel like is right for you and your body at that time, then it's the right decision.
Welcome to the Messy Mom Podcast by Fit Mama in 30. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Carrie.
And the Messy Mom Podcast is all about ditching the idea of perfection during motherhood and embracing the messy, ranging from topics about pre and postnatal health and wellness, infertility, mom guilt, and of course, the craziness that comes with raising a family.
So if you would like to live on this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review as this helps other mamas learn to embrace the messy with us. So get ready for 30 minutes of real, raw, and messy content. Let's get started.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Messy Mom Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey.
Carried me just to start, but we do have a wonderful guest on this podcast. We think you guys will really enjoy this one. It's a little longer than our usual, but it's because we got into really good conversation and our guest is truly just a joy. She's awesome and you'll really feel that energy from this podcast, I think. But we have Rachel Klein joining us. She's actually a good friend of mine. She was on our podcast a long time ago when we very first started, like we say, in its infancy, talking about her almond butter company, Revival Food Co., which you can find in Walmart. A little shout out to her.
It's there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's great. I use it at home. It's really good almond butter. But we're not talking about her almond butter business. We are actually talking about her birth stories because she has a really interesting story. She has three children and she has had a different birth experience for each one. Some she's been completely unmedicated, others she's been medicated in a hospital setting, and she just discusses the differences between each one, what she enjoyed, what she didn't enjoy, and she's just really fun. And you'll definitely hear that in this podcast for sure. Yeah.
This is like the first time I got to really just get to know her as well.
Yeah.
And she has had some really good, you know, I mean, everyone has, you know, when you talk about birth stories, you read all these books, like people go into these elaborate descriptions of like why you should have this one and why you should have this one. And Rachel just said something that I think every woman, and you'll hear it, but I'm going to ruin it right now. Every woman should take away is like every labor for your own in your own personal life can change depending on the time of your life, your beliefs, and where you're at. And I think if you actually think as you listen to her and you just kind of like think about that instead of all these little tips and tricks and here's what you should pick, she just hit home with a point of like, you know what? That's what really matters. Where are you in life and what do you really want?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, she'll go into more detail about that. And like I said, we went a little longer, but it's because the conversation was just really good. I mean, honestly, I was like, oh gosh, it's close. It's an hour.
Yeah, it was.
But sit back, relax, enjoy. You know, if you are someone who is maybe thinking about doing non-medicated or medicated, she has a little something for all of you. So hopefully it helps you in a way. You get a little bit of information from it. And it's also, like I said, she's just very entertaining. So enjoy.
There's three of us here tonight, myself, Carrie, and our friend Rachel. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, Bailey.
Oh, I know. Okay. There's a reason why I say good morning. So it is, well, now 8:48 Eastern Standard Time, PM. We were supposed to do this podcast at 8:30. I fell asleep on the couch, woke up to Carrie calling me wondering where the hell I am for this podcast.
Just curious.
You guys, it is real. It is real. That's like the mommest thing I feel like I could ever done.
100%. Absolutely. I mean, but you have a 1 month old, like what, you know?
I know. It was a rough night last night, like I was telling you all. So I just was feeding him. I got cozy. I had the fire on the background and it just, I don't know. It was a moment. I woke up and I was like, ah, so here we are. Here we are. We have Rachel. Rachel's been on our podcast before. I think like literally the infancy of the Messy Mom podcast. It might've been like episode 5 or something. Where we were talking about your almond butter company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is still going. I mean, so much has changed since then within mm-hmm. this podcast, within our lives. Obviously, some big stuff for Revival, which is Rachel's almond butter company. So before we kind of dive into our topic and why Rachel's here, Rachel, why don't you just tell everyone who hasn't listened to that episode a little bit about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Kid, family, what you do, your almond butter company.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. Yeah. So for me, it's funny. Revival started about 10 years ago. And in a million ways, Revival and my home life and my children and motherhood, everything is wrapped up into the business and life, you know, so I haven't really known one without the other. For the last decade of my life. But I started Revival, really it was out of this desire to see something better exist on the shelves that I wasn't finding. I was a dancer in my previous life, and out of that came some disordered eating and thinking, and I really had to heal myself and heal my mindset around food. And so in that process, I started going after whole foods. Like, what is really healthy? What is true whole foods? Not the gimmicky, you know, protein packed, et cetera, but something that actually has true nutrients in it that's not, you know, covered in sugar too. So in that process, I got really hooked on nut butters because I was already eating a lot of nut butters for protein and just like fast snack, really. And peanut butter was my main go-to. But I started realizing, you know, peanut butter really isn't that great for you to have all the time. It's not the most nutrient dense of nut butters. So I was like, well, let me look at these almond butters. And man, the almond butters I found either tasted like cardboard because they were so clean and healthy, or they were like delicious and full of sugar. I mean, every time. So I started making my own at home for fun, ended up having it as wedding favors at my wedding. And from there, decided.
I just have to stop you. Don't you just love how she's like, I just did it for my wedding. Just made
favors.
Just made almond butter, you know, for my wedding. Like, no big deal.
Just whipped it up. Thing to do.
Can you talk about that experience for a second? Like, that's a lot of almond butter, first off. And one, like,
we have 300 people at our wedding.
Had you made it before? Like, was this literally like the first time you have made, like, I just need to know more about that.
I love it. Yeah. I was making it at that point. I just had a food processor at home, and I started making every week. I was making a new recipe. That was sort of like me trying to perfect the recipe. Cause you know, I would make it in a food processor and it would feel like a huge jar, like a huge glass jar. So we would go through the jar, and once it was empty, I would make it again. And so I was making this one recipe for probably like, I don't know, 3 weeks that it was like my favorite recipe that I made. I was like, man, that is delicious. It had no sugar. It was like kind of sweet, like the perfect almonds. Like I used the dry roasted almonds from Trader Joe's.
Oh, yes.
I was like, man, this was like amazing. And so when it came time to figure out what we were going to do for our wedding, I was like, I know, I should just make my almond butter, but put it in these cute little glass jars. And, you know, cause like wedding favors are so boring, and mm-hmm. it's just the typical case of me overcomplicating things and making more extra than they needed to be. Because it's like, I was like DIYing, you know, my, what are those called? Place cards for all the tables. I was like watercoloring them and then, you know, calligraphy. And I was just doing all the DIY things because I wanted to. And then I was like, and why not a week before the wedding also make a ton of almond butter and fill it in these little jars and then hand wrote every single card and said almonds plus vanilla plus sea salt plus.
I've seen them because you have them at your house. Like you have a couple that you've saved, right?
Yeah. So it's pretty funny. Anyways, that's how
that's awesome.
Good thing you did make that almond butter for your wedding because it's like in Walmart now.
Yeah. It's grown quite a bit. I mean, I really, when I started, I truly had no business plan, zero intention for it to grow into anything legitimate. I actually really wanted to open up, this is also very Rachel, I wanted to open up an aerial yoga studio. That was my first plan.
Carrie, you've done that before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
That is so...
I don't know why. I just got so hooked on air. I was like, no, I don't want to get certified in yoga. I was a Pilates instructor. I was also a massage therapist. I was also working at Lululemon and teaching like group fitness. And then I was like, I think that I should also do aerial yoga. And so I flew out to New York City and got certified as an aerial yoga instructor.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My first time staying in an Airbnb by myself in the middle of New York City.
Oh my gosh.
Hell's Kitchen, I think, is where I stayed. And I was like, this is magical. But no, I did not open up the studio.
Maybe in the future. Maybe.
Wait, it could still happen.
Yeah. Maybe the idea isn't dead, you know?
Yeah.
But this is what I was talking. I was like, hey, we just need to press record because I love Rachel. I think because she's such the opposite of me and Carrie. Like,
yes.
You are so, not saying we're like boring. At least I hope. Well, I don't know. Maybe we are.
I don't know. I talked to Rachel for 10 minutes and all of a sudden I feel pretty boring.
Rachel is one of the most spontaneous people I have ever, probably the most spontaneous person I've ever met. And I love it. Like, when was it? Was it like a month ago that you've just like, I'm going to fly to Paris with my mom? And your mom must be pretty spontaneous too. She definitely
got it from her. We're both like the spontaneous queens. We're just like, sure. That decision was literally made the day before. She's a flight attendant, so she gets free flights and I get free flights from her. But we've never flown international before. And it was like Friday night, she calls me from a bar where she's with her friend. And she's like, Rachel, what do you think about going to Paris tomorrow? And
how many glasses of wine deep was she when she made that?
It probably didn't take much, honestly. She's pretty quick to make a choice like this too. My husband, David, he was homesick. He was sick at home and I turned to him in bed and I was like, do you think I could go to Paris tomorrow?
And she has three kids, everyone. We're going to get to that.
The three kids, ages 4, 5, and 7. And I'm like, are you good with like staying home with all the kids while you're sick so I can go to Paris? And God bless him because he said yes. So,
oh my gosh.
He knows me well enough to know that it fuels my soul to be spontaneous and to go on vacations and fun trips like this. So he said yes because he probably knew I would have felt like internally depressed.
I love that. I think it's an awesome quality.
I agree.
And I wish I had a little bit more of that for myself.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah. I can help bring out the spontaneity in all of my friends and people.
I like it.
Yes.
My world.
I love that. So you have three kids. I don't know if you want to share their, share whatever you want to share about them.
Yeah. So I've got two boys and a girl. So Stella's our baby. She is the girly girl queen. Literally dresses herself every day and comes downstairs looking just like a sparkle unicorn something or other.
She has the most amazing hair.
Yeah, bright blonde, curly locks. So she's a vibe. Then we've got Ben, who is our middle child, and he is brown hair, hazel eyes, good old Ben. He's just like the good Ben. He's sweet. He's easygoing, just like kind and just simple. Doesn't need much. Like he's always like go with the flow and like, yep. And then we've got Johnny, and he's our oldest. He's 7 and he's a redhead. So when we go around anywhere as a family, everybody always stops us because we've got blonde, brunette, and red hair. And then David and I both have brown hair, brownish. I've got his eyes, he's got brown. So we look like very normal. And then we've got this like range of children. But it's Johnny like is always
fiery red. And then
bright red.
And then like towhead blonde. Like it's,
yes,
it's so cool. I love it.
It is. It's very unique. It's fun. I think it's truly like the family I always dreamed of. Like, it's like all of my baby dolls I'll put into one.
Aw, that is good.
I love that.
Yeah, they're so fun. And so, yeah, Johnny is like the quintessential oldest child. So responsible, so sweet, so intuitive. I was telling Carrie before we got on here, I was having kind of a rough day today. And he just comes up to me tonight just before bed. And he's like, Mom, how have you been feeling today? I was like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, a lot of things. And he's like, but what are some of the feelings that you had today? Like, how are you? I almost cried. I was like, honestly, it was not a great day. Like, I felt a little frustrated today. And he was like, oh, I hope you have a better day tomorrow.
That's so sweet.
Sweet little man. He's a sweet little man.
You're like, when did my son become my therapist? Like,
exactly. So they are all so, so special. I feel so grateful for them. And then obviously I have a wonderful husband too. He's fantastic. But yeah, the kids are so sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good life.
I've gotten to meet all of them and they're all very sweet. And I love that you said they're like the your dolls because they yeah, all look like dolls. That's like a perfect explanation.
Yeah.
And they're part of the reason why we wanted to have you back on the podcast because you have three children and you also had three very different birth stories. And as you all know, Fit Mom at 30 is about preparing for really just motherhood in general, pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond that, kind of every stage of motherhood. And we talk a lot about birth and just mom life and obviously the messy mom life. And I thought it'd be interesting to have Rachel come on and just kind of discuss each one of her births because one was, you said, in a hospital, epidural, right? Medicated. And then you had one in a hospital, unmedicated, right? And then you'll get into these a little bit more. And then one at a birthing center, unmedicated. So it's just very, I feel like that's very different. You don't meet a lot of people that have, you know, multiple children and then multiple different types of stories and how they had them. So I was like, I think that would be really interesting for people to hear someone who's kind of done it all and maybe they're wanting an epidural, maybe they're not wanting, maybe they're wanting to go into a birth center. So I thought it'd be really interesting to hear kind of your stories about that and maybe pros, cons, you know, would you do things differently? Just all the things. So we're just going to kind of give it to you. And yeah, I just want to hear, and Carrie, if you have questions, feel free to jump on in, but really just want to hear your story.
Yeah. Kind
of why you made some of those decisions.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that I would have wanted to hear this from somebody else who's gone through it too, because obviously I was always weighing the choices for all three of them. So I think it's important to start off by saying that, you know, as a woman and as a mother, you're going to change throughout the years. And so who I was when I had my first is very different than who I was by the time I was having my third. And you know, I have all the grace and love in the world for every version of myself as I kind of grew into who I became. And so, you know, I just think it's important to recognize if you're feeling just unsure about how you want to go through birth or what you want that to look like for you, just to be like, okay, for who I am right now, what feels right to me? Like, what feels okay? So, you know, you've heard a bit of my story. So I've always been, I started on this track of getting like really into natural things of, you know, whole foods. And that was part of my journey into, you know, growing into revival and getting into this whole, you know, natural food movement. And so I became somewhat of the crunchy mom, but started as really just dipping my toes in the water when it came to being crunchy. Like it was a version of it where I was into eating healthy food, but still, you know, taking my kid to the same pediatrician that, you know, I go on all the things about vaccines and all of that too. But that was all part of this decision too, was kind of starting off with Johnny, I kind of was just falling. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, nobody does, especially first time mom. You're like, I'm going to do literally whatever the doctor tells me to do because I'm terrified. I don't understand how this is possible that I'm about to bring a full human into the world. So whatever you tell me to do, like, yes, I will do it. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go the hospital route first because I just wanted a completely safe environment. And Johnny's birthday or his due date was the 22nd, I'm pretty sure. It was October 22nd. And I was terrified that I would have him on Halloween because I never really liked Halloween.
You know what's funny is I bet there's people out there that like, oh, I would love to have my baby on Halloween because there's some people that are really serious about super Halloween.
I know. Yeah. I have never been one of those people. I got terrified as a little girl. And then I was always like anti-Halloween, which is funny because of course now Johnny loves Halloween.
Oh, that's about
holidays.
That's too. Cruise running the Halloween right now. I don't know why.
I mean, it's cute. They do it cute now. It doesn't have to be as scary as I think that our childhood people just took it too far, you know,
way too far.
Yeah. So it was traumatizing.
Yeah.
We're smarter now.
I agree with that.
So it was coming up to, I was passing my due date, you know, and just thinking about like, oh my God, I do not want his birthday to be on Halloween. And so I really, that was my entire decision about getting induced. That was it. It was not deeper than that. I was like, I want to control the outcome and I'm getting induced.
I love the honesty. Yes. Because there's so many people I think out there that make decisions based on dates. That would be an interesting podcast in and of itself.
Oh, agreed.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I did. So I went to the hospital, got induced, was like, yep, I'll take the epidural. No problem. Didn't even question it. But honestly, the epidural was so, you know, everyone can have a different experience, but for me, it was so painful and terrifying. I just remember being like, I started to feel the contractions. Like at first, you know, you're sitting there, you get induced and you're like, honestly, this isn't that bad. I was like, is this what contractions are? They're not that bad. And then they started to like hit and I was like, oh, okay, that's harder. That's more. And then I just remember being like, dear God,
that's real.
That's what it really feels like. And so I'm like, why aren't they getting me the epidural? And they finally came. I'm like in the middle of the contractions. And, you know, of course, they're saying you have to lean over your belly while you're, and relax while you're going to get this epidural. And I'm like, that's impossible. And, you know, I screamed. I remember they made David leave the room and I just remember like screaming because it hurt so bad. So that's what motivated me and my second birth to not get an epidural. But it felt okay then after that. But I remember I fell asleep on my side. And so then the epidural like fell onto that one side more than the other side. Didn't tell me to move at all. I wouldn't have known any different because I'd never done it before. So I didn't realize anything was like weird with my body and the epidural until I got home. But I will say all that to say that like, honestly, pushing though, like when it was time to push and like actually have Johnny, I remember thinking like, this is fun. It didn't hurt. It was just like the World Series, Cubs were in the World Series. We were watching that in between pushing. David had like fun, like pump up music, which is funny. I thought that I would want like this relaxing, like, you know, worship music or something that's like really like sweet. And this is what I want the baby world. And instead I had like Beyonce and like, music. I was like, you know, pushing and I was like, this is so fun. I felt like empowered. Great. And I felt no pain.
Yeah.
So all that part of the epidural and the birth process was fun and great and everything went smooth. And honestly, it felt like a very easy birth. But then I just remember when I got home, I was so weirded out by the fact that I had one leg that was so much more numb than the other for like days. I felt like I was walking like Shaggy.
Like dragging.
Oh my God.
You're just reliving.
I can just remember that feeling of my legs. I was like, why aren't these legs working? Supposed to.
Oh man. I'm like crying.
Yeah, I'm crying. Okay, so that was birth number one.
So that your epidural lasted that long, like days after?
Yes.
Wow.
So I think that was, I mean, it was obviously not fully in effect, but I still felt the effects of it in my legs. And that was so strange. So that definitely was enough to make me feel like,
oh yeah,
what, you know, it just made me question like how strong it was it placed right? You know, I just felt weird about it.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't feel pain. But I also tore during I had like a second degree tear. So it wasn't the worst, but it was definitely, I was surprised that I tore that much, but you know, I didn't feel any of it. So you just mm-hmm. don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was birth one. And then I'm going into like, you know, second time around came pretty fast with Ben. The boys are only 19 months apart. So my body is like, well, we know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. And I really started questioning more. I went to a different pediatrician at this point because I started, you know, just deeper into my natural life. At that point, we were vegetarian. We became vegetarians after Johnny was born and started, you know, really looking under the hood with like just everything in our lives and kind of questioning our faith, questioning our food, questioning sugar, questioning the system. And so this was the season of life where we're like, you know, I don't want to do anything that someone's just telling me to do. I want to understand why. Mm-hmm. And so I still felt like I wanted to be at a hospital because I wanted to feel that safety net. But I had a new doctor at this time that was also our pediatrician. She was more of a family doctor. And she was very comfortable with me doing a natural birth if that's what I wanted to. And she also wasn't pushing, you know, her agenda on me. So that made me feel, again, safe. Mm-hmm. So.
And by natural, you mean unmedicated, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Yeah.
I feel like people say natural now and it can be taken as like vaginally or unmedicated.
Oh, that's true.
So I always like to ask.
It's a good, yes, unmedicated. So this time around, we went into the hospital and this time it was a fully different experience because I went in naturally. I started going into labor at home. It was actually after going to a massage. I went to this massage therapist who I was like, girl, press all the pressure points. Like I am ready to have this baby. Okay. This is actually a crazy story that I should tell because this was just like not related. Well, kind of related to the birth, but also very woo-woo and so crazy to think about. So I go to this massage therapist and she's a pretty woo-woo therapist. Like she's always, you know, she has a lot of crystals and things around, but I was never really into that. So she never talked to me about those things. And she just would like give awesome massages. But during this massage, when I'm like, I want this baby out of my body, I think he was like 5 days overdue or something. And I just felt like I was going to explode. She was like, okay, you know, I can give you a great massage. I'll press all the pressure points. And in the middle of the massage, she's like, Rachel, can I tell you something kind of weird? I was like, okay, yes.
As you're getting massaged, you're like,
as you're naked on this table.
You're like, sure.
She's like, okay. I just like saw this vision of your son. I can see him. And he is sitting with your future daughter. And he doesn't want to leave her. He's holding her hand and he doesn't want to leave her yet.
Whoa.
I was like, what? She's like, it's so crazy because your daughter looks a lot like your son, but a little different, like your first son, but a little different. But this son looks a lot like you. She's like, but I feel like we need to give him like permission to like let go, like that he'll see her again soon because they don't look that far apart in age. This is crazy.
Wow.
So she's like, I think we need to give him permission to, like, you know, say see you later to his sister and that he'll see her soon. And I was like, okay.
What was going through your mind?
Permission granted.
Yeah, permission granted. Yeah.
Feels. I was like, what? Is that real? But I'm like, go with it. You know, okay, that's really powerful. And I just thought to myself in my head, kind of like a prayer to him, like, hey, you know, you can come now. We're ready for you. You know, you can meet us here now. And I kid you not, within like 5 minutes, I started having contractions on the massage table. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So I drive home and I am like in labor, driving myself home from the massage studio from her house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was a wild experience. And then, you know, get back and I'm like, all right, people, it's time. We're leaving. David's like eating everything out of the kitchen. And I'm like, we have to go now because he's always like terrified he's not going to get enough food at the hospital. I have to go. So
I just got this picture of like your husband being like, as you're like,
I was sitting with my mom in the living room and I'm like bent over the table having these deep contractions and we can hear the fridge slamming, slamming, the pantry rummaging through. And I was like, what the heck is he doing? I mean, he was like so angry. Typical, you know, woman in labor.
Oh, man.
So we get there. And get through so fast because he is like coming hot and heavy. Like I felt like I was so ready to have this baby. And we get there and they put us straight through triage. We get into our room and this was a place where I had already decided I do not want the epidural. I'm going to do this on my own. Like I had read, you know, a few books on hospital. I've heard what that book actually is called. Natural Hospital Birth. I think Ina something. I don't know. I'm sure you can look it up.
But yeah.
There was a few books at the time that I remember reading of just like how to stand your ground in the hospital setting when you want to go unmedicated. And I did have, honestly, like on repeat, nurses kept coming up to me. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to, you know, get the epidural? And I was like, I am sure. Please stop asking me. And they had to sit me down because I forget what that thing is called. The I had to get an IV for
beta strep.
Yes, I had beta strep. So I was like deep in transition is what, you know, that time where it's like you're in the transition and I could just feel like I cannot sit down. If I sit down, I'm not getting back up. Mm-hmm. And they made me sit down and like lay on the bed to get my IV. And then I just was stuck there. And I remember I was really honestly just like seized by fear even. Like I was just freaked out by the pain, like the extreme pain. My body was shaking. I was like facing the bed, just like screaming like into the pillows because I just like couldn't move. And I was so like, is this the worst decision I've ever made? Because I couldn't get an epidural at that point. And I was just like, this was so much more intense than I expected it to be. But then my doctor came in and like I said, she was so supportive of me and whatever I needed. And she was just like, okay, hey, you look ready to have this baby. I was like, get him out of me.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like on my hands and knees. She's like, if you want to stay there, you can birth him just like this. And I was like, oh my God, no, I can't like, the mental image of me like birthing baby on my hands and knees, just like not what I imagined in my head.
Yeah. People do that though all the time. They say that's a very good position to be in.
It's very mammalian.
Yeah. Primal. Very primal.
Very primal. But it, you know, for me, I was just like, ugh,
yeah,
I can't.
It's not for me.
You're not there. And so I was like, no, help me move. And so she helped me move. And so did David. And I ended up, she installed a squat bar
bed
and had me hold on to the squat bar. And again, like in my head, I'm thinking this has got to be like the most insane image of like, I just, again, felt so primal and I just was so awful to everybody around me because I was just in so much pain. But I just kind of leaned into her who made me feel safe and just let it be weird. And I think that that's part of it, you know, to the at the hospital, it's easy to feel like you don't have the space to like be weird, like be that crazy birthing mother, because it's just not as common anymore. You know, it's really, some of the nurses feel uncomfortable with it, where they want you to just kind of be medicated. You lay down. We have a process for this. But when you're a mom who's like unmedicated, I mean, you are just like unhinged. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like terrifying for them too, because they just feel like, how do I control this woman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so having the right people in the room makes a big difference. And I didn't have a doula. In hindsight, I think that would have been really helpful, because I just got really tired of having to push off the nurses. And my husband just like didn't know how to be that kind of support person. Yeah. He was also freaked out watching me in pain.
Yeah.
And so over there, oh my gosh, he took...
I just keep getting mental pictures.
I know. I don't even know your husband, but I can imagine this going down.
Yeah. And this like goes down in history for us. I brought with me a stereo, like a little Bluetooth speaker. And I remember I was like, you know, bent over the bed, like, my God, I am like dying. And he took the stereo, the Bluetooth speaker, and started putting it around my head, like circles. Like, he goes, it's surround sound. I almost slapped him across the face. I was like, get away from me.
Trying to help, but it's not helpful.
Like, it's not joke time.
I think he knows I love music and like loud music. And I think he genuinely thought I would like that. Oh, man, it's so funny. Oh, but anyways, that's where he was at. He was not in the mental space of like talking to my nurses on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I think that that's important to recognize, like your partner, you know, doesn't need to be that person, because they're going through something too. And they're trying to figure themselves out. And like, they're also their own version of a hot mess. So that's where I understand the purpose of doulas, even though I didn't have one, could be really powerful, especially I think in the hospital setting. More than, you know, I don't know, it could be home birth, whatever. But so I had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, I feel like, during that process to advocate for myself. And that's where I was at least very grateful that I had a doctor that helped me to feel safe, because the fact that she just gave me the courage to be weird and to be loud and to squat, you know, on the bed and just like in this like sterile setting to still be like the I wanted it to be was really powerful. So, you know, I'd say you could definitely, you know, having an unmedicated hospital birth is absolutely possible. You just have to like let go of your expectations of controlling that environment and like just make sure that you have the right support around you for it. I did love that birth so much, and I'm so grateful that I did what I did, you know, and it was pretty quick, honestly, too. Like, it took about 2 hours from the time I came in to having him. So that also made it more possible for me to do.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there in pain for 10 hours plus.
Yeah.
My body was already, you know, because I could feel it all, I feel like I was able to move through, you know, the transition period so much faster too. Mm-hmm. That's different for everybody too. But that was for my story that helped.
So let's chat about just ingredients. One of the biggest questions that Carrie and I get is, what protein powder do you recommend? And as you know, there are literally hundreds, thousands of protein powders out there, but they are not all created equal. So just a few things that we really look for. We always make sure they're third-party tested, have no artificial sweeteners, and contain at least 20 grams or more of high quality protein. Carrie and I have both been using Just Ingredients for a while now, and it's because it checks off truly all of those boxes and more. I used it my entire pregnancy and continue to use it now. You can blend it, you can shake it, you can bake it, all the things. It's seriously so good and so delicious.
That's so true. Not only have I been giving it to my kids as an afternoon snack, I have used almost every one of their products. So we are really happy to be partnering with Just Ingredients to give you 10% off your order. So you can use code FITMAMA, that's FITMAMA at checkout. Or you can just click the link in our show notes and check out the code there. Hiya! Let's face it. Most kids' vitamins are basically candy, filled with sugar, artificial ingredients, and other additives. So while my kids would certainly prefer the chewable, gummy little sugar-filled vitamin, they still enjoy Hiya vitamins. Get it? Get it? And I feel good about what's inside of them. I've been giving them to the kids not only the daily vitamin, but also the probiotics for about a year now.
They're also a really super cute company. The first shipment, they send you refillable bottles and stickers so your kids can customize their bottles, make little artworks out of them. So if you're just looking for a vitamin that you can feel really good about giving to your kids and they will actually try, then give Hiya a try. Right now, you can get 50% off and free shipping when you use the link in our show notes.
And did he come out pretty quickly? Like, how was kind of the after effect of a non-medicated birth?
Yeah, he did actually come out pretty fast. Once I started pushing, it was really like, I think 3 to 5 rounds of pushing, and he was out, and there was absolutely no tearing.
Oh, wow.
Which was crazy. Yeah, to go from that secondary tear to having zero tearing.
Well, they say sometimes because you can feel everything, you
can control it.
You can control it a little bit more. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I wonder too if the position, I've heard the position is a big part of that too, where it was a much easier position for him to like fall out in a way, like instead of having to push against, you know, gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were squatting and holding on to that bar, basically. Okay. Yeah. Were your legs tired or were you not even thinking about that?
Oh, I couldn't even think about
that. But, I can imagine.
I just remember, like, I remember in between pushes, I would like pull myself up and just completely lay my whole body on the bar and just try to hold on to the bar like it was my lifeline, you know? And of course I had like David was there holding me and rubbing my back and stuff, but it was, I mean, to squat like that was so exhausting on my legs.
Yeah.
But you feel it just everywhere else, like the crown of fire. Is that what it's called? The crown or when they're crowning and it's just like,
oh, the ring of fire.
Ring of fire. Oof, man. Yes. So you don't feel anything else when you're feeling that.
I've never felt that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because we, Carrie and I both had epidurals.
Pretty awful. But I don't know. In a crazy way, though, I just loved having that experience. That's what I wanted to feel. I was curious, honestly, more than anything. I was just so curious to see what that would feel like. Like, what is that feeling? Like, what is that that, you know, is this primal instinct as women that we have. And it was just so, so much harder than I thought it would be. You know, that's, I think the feeling I left with that is that I felt so proud of myself. And I was also like, I cannot believe that that's how women have birthed our entire lives. Like until very recently, has that not been the case? And it is crazy to me to think that like, that's what women go through or have gone through for our entire, like,
forever.
Century, you know, it's crazy.
Wow. So did you prepare yourself at all for an unmedicated birth? Like, did you do any of the classes or like pain management, massage technique, like before you went into the hospital unmedicated?
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to think. I remember, obviously, I was reading the books, but I didn't do any of the classes beyond the books. I remember there was some... there was some like meditation book that I read or I listened. No. I listened to a meditation, which did absolutely nothing to me when it came down to it.
It would do nothing for me. I guarantee you meditation.
Say, did that go out the window? Like when you started going into labor? Or?
Yeah. Gosh, I wish I could have really, but I do. I mean, I was not thinking about meditation at all.
Yeah. Which I feel like a doula, like you said, in that situation probably would be like reminding you like, okay, remember your, but which maybe would help.
Yes.
So,
because there were cues I remember from this book that I read the one I listened to, there was like this meditation I listened to and there were cues from it that I remember how it talked about like you know, your womb being a bowl and talking about like how you're, you know, how you're holding that bowl and, you know, how it's moving and changing. And so I remember having the thought, now that we talk about this, I forgot about it, but I do remember having the thought as I went into labor, into the hospital, like the bowl was like in my head, something about a bowl. And then I was just like, yeah, could care less. Which is unfortunate because I think that that is where a doula could have helped. Like when I was at my breaking point and just like screaming into a pillow, that's when it would have been great to have those cues.
Some breath work.
Yeah. Yeah, some breath work, some cues, some, you know, something to help me. Because I think it's the mental fatigue that gets you more than anything, uh-huh. where it's just like your mind is complete. Like I said, unhinged is like the best word for it because you just feel completely like out of your mind. Like yeah. there's that pain is so complete. It just takes over your nervous system. And that's where it was impossible for me to think about anything else. I remember just truly feeling like I am stuck here. I am not, I cannot move. My body will not move itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's your mind shuts down before your body is actually like you have so much, your bodies have so much left to give. If you let your mind push it to that point. But most people just let the mind shut down and that's it.
Right.
Which is probably why a lot of people do like the breath work, the mental.
Because you got to get past it.
Yeah. Because I think I've heard people say if you want to have an unmedicated birth, like you really should have like pain management techniques put in place. Like don't just go into it thinking like I'm going to let myself, you know, do it all on my own because of that right there. Like a lot of times mentally, you just kind of say you give up and you do something that you maybe not really wanted to do, like get an epidural for people that really want a non-medicated birth.
Totally. I think it was humbling because it was that feeling of like, oh, I'm a badass. I can do it. Like I am so natural and crunchy and I can do all these things. And so I think it was honestly just so humbling because I'm like, oh, wow, that was so much harder than I thought it would be. So that's where like with the third then thing, like I did it differently because I knew I needed more support.
Yeah. I was going to say what going into the third, what did you take away from the second that you were like, I am totally doing that differently or the pros, cons, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. So I think, so again, the third came pretty quickly after the second because we just have no control over here.
We like each other. That's a good thing.
So yeah, Stella came, she was like 20 months between the two of them. So yeah, with Stella, then I think I just like, when I looked back on the hospital experience, I kept taking away from it just that I felt like I wish I had more support. And, you know, I'm glad that I had what I had there, but it was really challenging to be in that sterile environment and have the kind of birth that I wanted. And so I started exploring the birth center, that there's a really great birth center here in Indianapolis that I'd heard about. And I decided I wanted to give that a shot and see, you know, I still felt very comfortable with having an unmedicated birth. Because I was just still questioning the system and all the things around it. And I was like, I don't want to do the epidural. I know I don't want an epidural. I, you know, want to see if I can experience a more pain-free, like natural birth. Like, what would that feel like? I've heard of that. And I feel like that's got to be possible. And so I feel like if I get my best shot would be, and honestly, it was actually less about having a pain-free birth. I just wanted to experience a really calm birth experience. Because with Ben, it felt like pretty intense the whole time when we got in there. It was just like pretty chaotic and intense. And I felt like I was just like just extreme and intense in all of my pain and the people around. And there were so many people in the hospital room too. I think that was also something that I remember being aware of, is that there were just so many nurses and then the doctor and then just her people. And it just felt like a lot happening all around me and the beeps and bright lights. And so I was like, I just want to feel a different experience. And again, it honestly came more from a sense of curiosity than trying to prove something. I was like, I would just be curious to experience what a, you know, I don't want a home birth, but I want a version of that. And so I loved the idea of the birth center. And the birth center, you work with the, what do they call it? All of a sudden,
midwife.
Midwives. Yes. Yeah. So you work with midwives. And at this one, you share, it's more of a network of midwives. So there was, I think, five or so midwives there that you would meet with all of them during the time that you would go in for your appointments. And then, you know, it was whoever was on call for your birth is who your midwife was. And so there was a risk there because there was one or two that I didn't connect with as well as the others. But ultimately, I was like, I loved, this is a very honest statement too, like I loved the aesthetic of the rooms. They felt like kind of like pastel vibes. So it felt just like calm. And, you know, there was a big queen bed or a king bed in there that, and a nice big tub and just like soft lights. And so when it came time to have Stella, her birth came on naturally too. I was, gosh, I think I was almost 2 weeks overdue. And the midwives were very, like, they were like, okay, we're not going to let you go well past 2 weeks, but we are watching you and we think that you're safe. And, you know, we're okay because you've had a very normal birth up to this point. And so again, like, that's one of those benefits of the midwives and that experience. Versus, you know, I remember my doctor for Johnny pressuring me to get induced. She put me on a certain day, even though I didn't want to have his birthday on Halloween. She was also like, my kid has a soccer tournament. And so like, I'm going to be leaving. If you don't get it, if you don't like have him soon, like I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
And I just remember like feeling so icky about that.
Yeah.
And so at, you know, at the birth center, they were so like, this is your experience. We want you to have your baby when your body is ready to have the baby. And I thought that was really cool. And I loved feeling that freedom. So Stella came on naturally around 2 weeks after her due date. And we, you know, we go into the birth center and they were, it wasn't like, it didn't come on hot and heavy. It was in the middle of the night and they were very comfortable. They're like, okay, come on in. We go in there, they kind of get us, you know, cozy, set us up in the room. We put all of our things away and, you know, they're like, do you want to use the tub? And I was like, yes, absolutely. That was something I had in my head, was like having a birth or water birth. And I just thought that would be really cool. So I was like, this is fun. I get to have a water birth and, you know, have this beautiful aesthetic too.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, I was feeling pretty strong contractions. Like, this is going to be happening very soon. Just like Ben, I was thinking it's going to, you know, she's going to come out fast. So I'm like, yeah, get me in the tub. So I get in the tub and this was not fast. It was a very different experience than I thought. Again, this is where you have to throw your expectations out the window for literally any birth ever.
It never goes. No, typically 100% plan. Sometimes it does, but you got to prepare for it to not, maybe.
So this was not what I expected. I was in the tub and, you know, I felt like the contractions started coming on very fast. And the midwife is in this experience, you know, I'm sitting in the tub, David's next to me. The midwife is sitting in a chair near the tub too. And she's just there like, How is this one feeling? How are you feeling? Okay, what's happening? She hasn't checked me cervically at all yet. She's very just like hands off, like let your body do its work. And which is cool. Great. Let my body do its thing. Well, the body was doing its thing and I was hitting that ring of fire and it was so intense. And I was like, I felt her go down the birth canal and then I felt her go back up. And I was like, that was it though. That was, she should have come out. And the midwife is like, okay, let's let some more, you know, contractions come through. And I don't know how long I was in the tub. I think I was in the tub for maybe 3 hours because they just kept refilling it. And I didn't want to get out because I was so determined. Like, no, she is coming and I'm not getting out because I want a water birth.
Yeah.
Like, and so I stuck to it and I was probably so pruny at this point. And like, I also had this vision of me, like, you know, you see pictures of women with water births that are like wearing like cool swim tops or something. And they're like super fit and just like look awesome. And I look back at these photos that the midwife took of me and oh my God, like, I'm like a whale in there. I ended up taking my top off. So I'm just in there like completely naked, just like swimming. And I'm like, this is not cute.
I like that you say just swimming.
Oh my gosh. And it just got ugly, you know, the whole thing, because I just was so, again, it was so primal. It was so intense. And I was like screaming and all the things that you'd imagine happening. And I was like, she's not coming out. And so finally the midwife is like, do you want me to check? And I was like, yes, please check what is happening inside of my body. And so I get out of the tub. She checks me and she's like, okay, so you actually have a cervical lip. And I was like, what does that mean? It's basically scar tissue on the inside of your cervix that keeps you from fully dilating out to 10 centimeters. So I wasn't dilating out to 10 centimeters. And so that's why like Stella would not be able to come through. Like that's was oh, not man. A possibility.
Yeah, that happened to my friend and she had to she had to have a C-section because of it.
Okay. Yes, and this is what's so interesting and the part that makes me feel so grateful for being where I was even though it was so crazy and took so much longer than what I thought it would take. She's like, "Okay, if you want, you know, you can get back in the tub and I can like hold your cervix back for you while you push." Oh, and I was like, I honestly don't care what you do to my body at this point. So I get back in the tub and the next like really strong contraction comes and she did. She like reached inside, like held my cervix back and like guided Stella out during my contraction.
Wow.
And like brought me to 10 centimeters basically just by like being that support person. And she was out.
Wow.
So it was a crazy, I mean, the amount of relief I felt. I mean, there is nothing like that feeling when you're just like, finally she's out. Like, I just remember mostly just like, oh my God.
I felt that way after having an epidural. Like, I was like, thank goodness that's over. I can't imagine what it's like with an unwanted baby.
Anytime you birth out a child, it feels like just the biggest relief of your life. And that was just this crazy experience. So then she came out and she came through the water, which was still really cool. And so I got to hold her like coming out of my body. So, which was a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. I think David had a heart. I mean, he was, I don't know, he was probably fine, but he's just like, oh my God. Like the whole time he's just like, this was crazy. And again, that's where the midwife kind of acts in a lot of ways also like a doula, which I think is the benefit that I also experienced being in there was, you know, I knew him well enough at this point during birth to know that like, he's not going to be able to, you know, talk me through a lot of this, but he's just a solid guy. Like he's just there to hold my hand mm-hmm. and just like, let me like take all the blood out of his hand just by squeezing it.
Yeah.
So Stella came and again, I didn't end up tearing in that birth either. Oh. So, you know, even through all of that with pushing as much as I did, I'm still so surprised that I didn't tear.
Wow.
But, you know, then they helped guide me out of the tub and then you lay down on the bed and then they deliver the placenta, like once you're laying down on the bed. And then we got to like lay there with her. Like they took her, you know, they really actually laid her on me for a long time while she was still just like fresh out of my body, like still just covered and figure what that's called, the stuff.
Yeah.
I'll think about it in a second. Maybe.
But, you know, it was still this like beautiful thing to just feel like we were so like, it was like we were both rebirthed in that moment. Like I just felt this like really huge sense of calm, just like laying there. And finally, like I did it, you know, we made it out of this and David was able to lay next to me because it's this big bed. And so then they eventually took her and cleaned her up for me and then brought her back. And then we just like fell asleep. Like we were able to just lay there. They're not poking and prodding. They just kind of set you up, like, you know, put some stuff around me so that as I'm like still bleeding and whatnot, they're checking to make sure everything's okay, but like really stay pretty hands off and just let us rest after all of that. And that was a pretty cool experience just in itself, you know, to just feel like I did the work and now it's time to rest and that they give you the space for that. And the crazy thing about that is that you end up going home the same day from the birth center.
So
I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about that, but I ended up loving it. I mean, we're only like 12 minutes away from the birth center, so it's not that far, but I was like, oh no, I loved being taken care of there. Like I loved, you know, at the hospital, like having everyone just like dote on you.
Yeah.
But it was actually so good to just like, we got a great nap in. They checked on us all. Everybody's doing okay. They helped us get in the car. It was probably like 6 hours later after having her. And then, you know, David drove me home and I got to sleep in my own bed, which was
wow.
And then they come to check on you.
Okay. I was going to ask, do they give you any type of like postpartum care? Like, hey, watch out for XYZ, but they do come, you said.
Yeah, they do. They'll come. They came, I think, the next day, and then they came like 2 days after that. And then they just call on you regularly. But this was crazy because this was the week before the pandemic hit. So I remember the nurse came like a week later, and then she's like, yeah, this, have you heard about this thing called COVID? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like in dream world, you know?
Yeah, you're not watching news or anything. It's, yeah.
So anyways, that was the birth center. Wow. So, yeah.
You know what's so interesting about what you said, like, especially at the beginning, is that everyone has to understand that how you feel about birth, depending on where you are on your life stage. Hmm. I can so relate to that because I had, my two were exactly 2 years apart, but my youngest is 7. And you know that moment where you said you started questioning everything and said, yeah. So I had that moment 3 years ago, which led to where I am now.
Yeah.
In lots of ways. But I think today, if I was to have another baby, I would probably have it at a birth center.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. I do. I would do things a lot differently today. But please, Lord, I don't need any more children.
Watch, Carrie's going to have an announcement for
us. I am not asking. Please, God, I am not asking for another baby. I'm just saying if, which please know.
Yes.
I do. I think it's like, I think that's a powerful statement that it's, I think every woman needs to decide. And like, I think it's very cool. Like, I don't know very many people like you who actually took that moment to evaluate, like, where am I right now in my beliefs on what I need and what I feel is best. Which is really cool. Like, instead of just saying, well, worked the first time, let's do it again. You are very much like, how do I feel right now? Like, what worked, what didn't work? And I don't know. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And I actually don't know what I would do if I was to do it again. Honestly, like there's parts of me that I'm like, I don't know. I kind of tried it all. Maybe I'd go back and have an epidural.
Just let it go.
Just let it go. Yeah.
I don't know. It is interesting to just feel like, yeah.
You've tried it all.
I did it. Like there's part of me that I'm like, I would either go extra crunchy and like free birth at home by myself or
by yourself. You're just in your kitchen. You know, that happens to some people because it just happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I would go and revert all the way back and be like, you know, some version of having a medicated birth where I just didn't have to feel the pain. I'd be like, yeah, good. I feel good with that too. But we don't want any more kids either. So it works.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is interesting. I think that that's part of like the grace that I have for all the different versions of what birth can look like. It's like, I'm grateful for all of them in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And I see the goodness in all of them in different ways, mm-hmm. where there is no wrong way to birth your baby. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's okay. It's all just dependent on where you're at in your life and what feels good to you. As long as you feel peace with that decision, mm-hmm. and you feel like you have the right kind of support and you're making that decision for you and what you feel like is right for you and your body at that time, then it's the right decision.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I love that. That's a
so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great place, I feel like, to end that. Because you just like said everything that I was thinking. Like, yeah, you have to do what you want to do and what feels right for you. And whether that changes or not, there's no bad way to birth a baby. Whether you have a vaginal birth, a C-section, an at-home birth, a birth in your car because you can't help it. Like, you know, it's all good. All of them.
Yes. Agreed.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on. That was so interesting. And you're just so, I think you're so funny.
No, I agree.
You don't, this has been great. You don't even try and you're just funny. And I just love that about you.
Oh, thank you. I am self-deprecating in the best way. you know, I have a lot of fun. This was so fun. I feel like I'm glad everybody, whoever's listening to this, it's like we're all just hanging out in the living room and having a lot of fun together. So
yeah, that's what I wanted, you know, especially for this podcast. We really wanted it to be just really conversational. And we try to do that with everyone that we have on, is just make it really raw, really conversational. We don't do a lot of editing because
messy moms.
Yeah, we're messy moms. Yeah, nothing's ever perfect. And our production isn't always perfect all the time. And I'm 10 minutes late because I fell asleep
nap
on the couch. Like, I was literally like, oh, Kevin, can you take Bo? I got to run downstairs.
I love it.
Yeah. So everything, you know, can be a little chaotic, and that's okay. And thank you guys for giving me grace about showing up late for my own podcast.
That's great.
So I appreciate it.
It's all part of life right now. I love it.
Yeah. And I think, did you have anything else, Carrie?
No, that was awesome. This is so good. I know I get to, I have only talked to Rachel really one other time, and this was really just a really good to get to know you. And I think, I mean, it was solid advice. Like, I think out of everything, like, I know it was your birth story. It was really, very interesting, but I mean, you hit the nail on the head to, you know, just own where you're at, do what you want to do and be confident with it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. We really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. One thing, Brooke, real quick before we go, I wanted to ask, did you do any type of, like, did you stay active throughout your pregnancy? Like, do you feel like if you did, that helped you with an unmedicated birth? Because just from two people that have had medicated births, and obviously what we do is help women prepare for birth through training. Mm-hmm. Even when I had an epidural, I felt like it's such an athletic event. Like, it truly is. Like, I was exhausted when I was pushing this last time, and I only pushed three times. And I was like, gosh, how did I do that for 45 minutes with crew? And
yeah,
and I was someone who was lucky enough to stay active throughout my pregnancy. And people will do it for hours upon hours. So I was just curious about what you did beforehand. We're in the thick of it.
But. I actually did. I had your classes. Remember that with Stella?
Stella. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So I actually forgot about that too. But I remember doing the 360 breathing. Is that what it's called? The breathing technique you do?
The 360 breathing.
I remember doing a lot of those exercises. I mean, I did the prenatal program.
I totally forgot about that.
I totally forgot about that too. That would have been a good thing to add.
We're still recording, so.
Glad you asked. I think that honestly was a huge help for me. In the biggest way, I think with Stella, in all the births were different, like I said, but with Johnny, I really did a lot of yoga, but I didn't have intentional strength training around birth, which ended up feeling like it didn't matter that much since I could hardly feel anything anyways. So, but I wonder how that would have changed my experience with him.
Yeah.
With the pushing part and not tearing as much or whatever. And with Ben, I remember I did not exercise a ton because I had like just come off of having one baby and then all of a sudden I'm diving into the next one. And I feel like I never really regained my strength like I wanted to in between the two of them. But then with Stella, I was on this, you know, I was deeper into like, you know, my fitness and had you as my friend. And it's kind of surrounded by more understanding about like what strength can do for you in birth. And again, I had a feeling that Stella was going to be my last anyways. And so I just wanted to do all the things I could do to make this like the best birth ever. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it was fun to engage in all the prenatal exercises before her. So I think, I mean, I wonder how that would have changed things had I not had that prenatal work before having her. I mean, there was so much stamina involved in her birth.
Yeah.
Having to be for that long and pushing for as long as I was.
Yeah.
I feel like my core and my pelvic floor and everything involved in there had to be like stronger than ever to be able to withstand like that time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I honestly feel like that made a huge difference. And I was squatting in the tub too, like most of that time.
Wow.
I was still squatting too. So I did feel strong going into her birth. Like I felt really capable. And I feel like it was, you know, whether I was actually strong or if it was the mental work in that process that helped me, I think both of those things are really valuable going into birth. And now it's almost become such a norm to tell, you know, to have women engaging in these, but it should have always been.
Yeah.
And I think where, you know, depending on what, it doesn't matter what kind of birth you're going to have. I think that those are, it's still so valuable to strengthen your body in the right way, because it just then becomes this muscle memory. In times like that, where you have no idea what's happening, your body still knows what to do and your body still has the strength to withstand it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I promise I wasn't fishing for, I totally forgot that you did our program. For our first program, which we've totally updated.
Revised, renewed.
Yeah. So I remember.
Revival.
Because I remember I sat down, I was like, okay, Rachel, tell me like what, yes, this is all coming back to me. Tell me what you would change. What did you like? What you didn't like? And we made a lot of changes based
I remember on that
feedback.
Yep.
I do remember this. So look at us all. Look at us remembering all this stuff. It just takes three brains and we can figure this out.
There's a lot that happened since that time, like COVID and like having that year that I literally don't remember. I promise I wasn't fishing. I forgot, but
I love that though. No, I'm glad you asked. I know that is fun.
Cool. Well, Rachel, thanks again. We'll have you on again just because I think you're such a bright light and we love having you on. You're really easy to listen to and to talk to. So I think everyone will really enjoy this podcast, especially those who are considering, you know, the type of atmosphere and environment they want for their birth. So thanks again for coming on. And until next time, mamas, we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. You can find us on Instagram at FitMamIn30. That's FitMamIn30. And let us know what you liked about this episode. We love hearing your feedback and what is resonating with you.
You can always find the links and resources mentioned in the show on our website, www.fitmamain30.com, along with our programs for prenatal, postnatal, and beyond. Until next time, bye, mamas.